Welcome to another Your Spiritual Practice podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts, Reverend Dr. Cher Holton.
And I'm Reverend Dr. Bill Holton, and I'm your co-host as well. And in this podcast, we're going to focus on affirmations.
Affirmations is a fun thing, isn't it? And it's a technique that a lot of people talk about. But one of the things that Bill and I discovered is a lot of people don't really understand what the power behind affirmations is and how to use them in a way that doesn't seem like a magical formula, but rather a powerful tool.
And actually, affirmations are powerful, purposeful intentions to align, or what Cher and I call entrain, your human self with your divine nature, so you can achieve what you desire by right of consciousness as you move toward or unfold into self-realization.
And you know, this is a really good time we felt to talk about affirmations, because there is so much news out there to depress us if we allow it to. And I'm hearing a lot of fear out there.
Yeah.
And if we just let that happen, it can take over. So we want to say, do not give in to anything that's the product of outer appearances. We want you to face life with joy, and you can do that with every thought, every choice, and every action.
For example, when you wake up and feel a little grouchy or depressed.
No, I never feel that way.
if that happens to you, we recommend that you immediately affirm, I greet this day with joy.
And when you have projects, for example, that you're not looking forward to, which I guess we all have occasionally, instead of whining about it or letting yourself get all depressed, use affirmations. And again, I do this with joy.
And you know, really, in our opinion, no one or no thing can rob you of your joy. Mm-hmm. So simply face life with joy, with positivity, and with affirmations that really uplifts you.
Now, here's something we might want to just take a little pause and riff on a minute. A lot of times when you hear about affirmations, you also hear about denials, because denial and affirmation go together. But some people object to the term denial because they feel like it means you're in denial.
Yes. And of course, it doesn't mean that at all. What it means is to simply refuse to give power to whatever a negative emotion or a negative thought is.
Absolutely. So you can say, I give no power to this fear. I am stronger than any fear I may encounter.
Absolutely.
And that's an example of a denial coupled with a very powerful affirmation.
And say your affirmations like you mean them, and like you believe them. Affirm them with conviction, and that takes a little energy. That takes an emotional charge behind an affirmation. For example, finish this sentence. It's not only what you say, it's
how you say it. And that comes out so often, we hear that. And it's important to put zeal and energy behind your affirmations, behind the words, because then you start believing in the truth of what you're affirming.
And your body believes that too. Your emotional makeup, the actual cells in your cellular community get it too, because they react to your both positive and negative emotions. So become aware of the energy boost you feel as you affirm the truth of who you really are, and notice the change you experience and your ability to bring a sense of well-thought-out, sensible order into your life.
I love that. That's so powerful. So here's the thing. You know, we can affirm a lot of things during the course of a day, but we need to become very aware, because our thoughts can take over without us even realizing it.
Yes.
You notice that?
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like when we look out on the highway and see the vehicles going by. Not every vehicle catches our attention, but we become aware of what's certain ones that we reach out and really pay attention to. Well, our thoughts are just like that. We have some that are drive-bys and some that just stay and repeat. And so it's very important to recognize the impact between the relationship of your thoughts and what you affirm. Because what you're affirming, you're repeating. And so you're making that part of your awareness, and that leads to the choices you make, and the choices then lead to the particular actions you take.
Exactly. And it's important also to know that thoughts and affirmations don't just happen in a vacuum. You actually choose them. Many people don't realize neurosciences are telling us that we actually choose our emotions. So, for example, no one can push your proverbial hot button, if you will. We don't have hot buttons. We only have the hot buttons that we manufacture. Did you know that?
Wow, now there's a topic. That could be a whole topic for a podcast sometime, because I bet right now some of our listeners are saying, you just hit my button.
Yeah. And, you know, anything that happens in your life out there are simply external, and you have an internal reaction to an outside stimulus. You choose to get angry or irritated or impatient, and when you are fearful, you choose to be fearful. If you are envious, you choose to be envious. And if you're joyful, which is what we advocate, you choose to be joyful as well. You can affirm positive things or negative things, positive behaviors, and act out on negative behaviors. It really is your choice.
It is, and it's a powerful choice. And the thing I've noticed is when I most need to choose the joy, quite often I choose the anger or the frustration or the cynicism if I'm not really paying attention. That's why we use the affirmation we mentioned in the beginning. I do this with joy, because it's a reminder I get to choose how I feel and how I respond in this situation.
And the thing about affirmations is, if you look at the first six letters in the word affirmation, you get affirm. So we invite you never to affirm anything that you don't want to manifest in your life. Did you think about that?
Oh, wow, that's powerful. And everything we say becomes an affirmation. So we want to be very careful of what we're affirming. What we think becomes an affirmation. And it kind of is the law of mind action that we hear so much about. And a lot of people say that as thoughts held in mind produce after their kind. But we like to clarify that a little bit and yes, clean it up. And we say that thoughts held in mind produce other thoughts of the same kind. And what you're doing is building on that affirmation energy with those additional thoughts.
And that is really what Sherry's saying is that your thoughts, particularly the ones that are held in mind producing after their kind, lead to thoughts which are characteristic of your consciousness and the consciousness which has spawned them in the first place. And that means that the similar thoughts repeated often enough reinforce either truth or simply perpetuate error.
That reminds me of a phrase that Bill uses a lot, and I love this phrase. He calls it mind action versus mind auction. Why don't you talk a little bit about that mind auction? Because I think that so fits in with what we're talking about.
Yeah, what's interesting about that is that when you control your thinking, you control your affirmations as well. You also control what you auction. If thoughts held in mind produce after their kind, and you're holding higher thoughts, more positive thoughts, then you're affirming your deeper truth of who you are, and staying more positive in your life and creating a positive thought universe. On the other hand, if you auction your thinking to negative thoughts, which also produce after their kind, you can see where that goes. Not a good place. That's not where you want to be.
Oh, that is so true. And so often we don't have control over that thinking. There was an interesting study that was done at Berlin's Bernstein Center for Computational Neuroscience. Mm-hmm. Do you mm-hmm. want to share a little bit about that science, since you're the science guy?
Well, these guys and gals were the first to mention, measure intentions we hold in our mind before the intentions are actually put into action. For example, when new information enters our brains, they say it enters into our short-term memory field first, and this is process is called synaptic transmission. The electrochemical impulses ignite one neuron, which in turn ignites the neuron next to it, which in turn ignites the next neuron, and so on. The new information is remembered only, get this, if the second neuron repeats the impulse back again to the first. This most likely happens when we decide that the new information is important. Affirmations, then, are a perfect example of this repeat synaptic firing process. And, of course, it's important for us. Actually, they call it the neuroecho. And that's sustained, if it's sustained long enough, it amps up the brain's incredible neuroplasticity. And that's a word.
It is a word.
And neuroplasticity leads to lasting structural changes. And actually, neuroplasticity is a neuroscience term for actually adding or building new neural real estate. So this echo hardwires the new information in our brains and our emotions, forming memory grooves in our gray matter. And that's why it's so important to think positive thoughts, watch positive TV shows and internet programs, and play nonviolent games, because they all lead to either positive affirmations or mind auction behavior. And that's, again, not where you want to be.
That to me is the most remarkable research, because it tells us even before we act, things are happening in our brain that determine how we're going to act. And so what's going on up there, we get to control some of that, and some of it is just happening, and we need to learn and understand it so we can apply it and use it in powerful ways.
And that is so true. And by the way, if you hardwire your thoughts, only what you see through the filters of your five main physical senses, and what Cher had said earlier about refusing to give power to outer appearances, and that's what our five physical senses give us, is they pick up on outside stimuli. If you do that, you may create grooves of materiality in your consciousness, which makes it harder for you to see lasting happiness, joy, and success when you think about it.
So here's an interesting little game we can play. Sometimes it's hard to see it. When we hear all this information, it's like, yeah, I agree with this. But then in real life, I forget. So why don't we come up with some examples of mind auctioning so you can see the symptoms of mind auctioning in your life? Just kind of see if you've experienced any of these and see what we can come up with. So I'm thinking, like, for example, when you let your schedule rob you of your inner focus time. Meaning I say I'm going to meditate, but then I allow everything that's going on around me to take that time away from me, and then I end up never having the time to do it. That's mind auctioning.
You've just auctioned it. Let's see, another example. When you affirm that you are a positive person and then have an hour-long conversation with friends about how horrible the economy is, or how horrible the politics is, or how helpless you are, or how unworthy you are. Whenever you do those kinds of things too, you are literally auctioning the joy and the bliss and the happiness that you can feel.
You sure are, and you can feel your energy draining when you do that. How about when you slip into old habits like doubt and fear, or I'm just going to give up, I'm not good enough, those kind of things? When you catch yourself there, mind auction.
Yeah, at work. Or when you relive hurts caused by someone close to you and want to wear staying hurt, if you will, as a badge of honor. A lot of people do that, and it's really an awful mind auctioning habit to get into.
Yeah, I call that the martyr complex. I get this feeling like I'm such a bad place and people use me and I'm doing all this stuff to help people and I feel like I'm a martyr. I relive all that stuff.
And it's easy to do that because you feel hurt. Mm-hmm. You're emotionally involved, of course, and you want to be thought of as being a nice, caring person, and you could many times think, how in the world can that person ever think that of me or do that to someone like me? And you've got to watch feeling unworthy like that because it can really trip you up.
It sure can. And I just thought of another one while you were talking. We allow excuses to take the place of the healthy lifestyle that we want. Like, I really meant to eat healthy, but my friend had this party and we celebrated and they made my favorite cake and I would have been embarrassed not to eat it. Well, I just auctioned not only my mind, but my body as well.
Yeah, and one of the things Sarah and I say is excuses are the line of least persistence when you think about it.
I love it.
Another one I think is sitting back, hoping things will improve. That's not a bad thing, but feeling stuck like a hamster in a cage running in circles on the wheel. Have you ever felt that way?
I bet that relates and resonates with a lot of our listeners, because sometimes when life gets so busy, we feel that way. And again, if we let ourselves get caught up in it, we're giving away our power. So also thinking that this mind action stuff doesn't work just because you haven't gotten the results you want. Sometimes we say it doesn't work, but if we can look back at how we're using it, guess what? It's working, because this works no matter what you're affirming. And if you're affirming the negativity or the frustration or the fear, that's what you're creating.
Yeah. And it's not worth that. I've got one more I'd like to suggest, is that you compromise not only your authenticity, that's what Sarah and I call it.
That's our mashup word.
Yeah, a combination of authenticity and integrity. You compromise not only your authenticity, but your soul growth when you neglect to align your human nature with your divine nature. And when you've done that, you've really auctioned your spiritual growth and development in that instant, not permanently, but the more often you do that, the more chronically you repeat that, the chances are you're really slowing down, decelerating the spiritual growth and soul growth that you could have.
Wow. So those are just some things you can look for, and you can create your own list. But you know what I'd like to do now? I would like to let people know, what can I do about it? How do I, what's my spiritual practice here that can help me improve and not do this mind auctioning, but rather mind action?
Yes.
So we have three things that we want to recommend. And if you can get really good at these, you'll see such an incredible difference in your life. So let's start off with the first thing. Your first practice is to affirm your incredible, extraordinary awesomeness through positive affirmations. Constantly remind yourself of the truth of who you are, which means a lot of I am statements that can truly remind you of how powerful and awesome you are.
And when you get really good at doing this next thing, and sometimes it appears to be a hard thing to do. It depends on your mindset, of course. But one of the things we highly recommend is to forgive anyone who you believe may have injured or harmed you in any way. And if you feel you're having a tough time having your prayers answered, one of the things that gets in the way of that is unforgiveness. If there's unforgiveness in your heart, it creates unforgiveness in your consciousness overall. And it's very difficult then to move into a more higher consciousness thought and have prayers answered. And besides, you know, when you forgive someone, it's really an internal thing, isn't it, hon? When you forgive someone, because it's really, forgiveness is really more for you, or certainly as much for you as it is for the person you're forgiving, because you're letting go of that emotional baggage, which is not something, it's ballast that you don't want to carry around with you ever.
Absolutely. And I know that quote that says, if you hold resentment, it's like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. Because you're holding on to it. And forgiving anyone who has injured or harmed you is just one of those things. We actually include it in our Master Consciousness process, which is something we'll talk about in another podcast. But we affirm that every time we focus on our spiritual enrichment. And when we say forgive anyone you believe may have injured or harmed you in any way, we're not just talking about other people. Guess what? We're also talking about yourself. And sometimes you can be the hardest person to forgive.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, absolutely.
We'll probably do a whole podcast just on forgiveness, because that is an extremely powerful spiritual practice.
Yeah.
And now number three. So we've done number one, which was affirm your incredible, extraordinary awesomeness through positive affirmations. The second one was forgiving anyone you believe may have injured or harmed you in any way.
And number three, expressing your higher spiritual nature, which Sharon and I called extraordinary you. Neurosciences call it your deeper self. Express your deeper self every chance you get. Every waking moment, think about who you really are. A spiritual being having a human experience. And that is your wealth. Not only your small s self-worth, but your capital S self-worth, because you are the omnipresent universal consciousness showing up in human form as you. That's how important you are as a spiritual being having a human experience.
Wow. So when you do these three things, the affirmations that affirm how extraordinary you are, your forgiveness practice, and then expressing in your daily life, expressing your higher spiritual nature, when you do these, you're going to turn unwanted mind auction into positive mind action.
Yeah, yeah. And that's certainly where you want to be. Moving from mind auction to mind action takes diligent awareness and a personal commitment to standing in the truth of who you are and practicing the truth principles you know.
It means paying attention to all thoughts that are floating in and out of your consciousness, and stop auctioning off the better parts of you. We truly believe that affirmations can be your key to spiritual enlightenment as you walk the spiritual path on practical feet. Blessings.
Blessings to you.